How do you feel about debt? Is it your friend? Do you see a purpose to it? Do you feel like debt is all bad? Well, guess what? Whatever your philosophy is, today is not about the emotions around debt. Have I studied this with money mindset? Yep, absolutely. Is it something I continue to work on? Yep, which is why I'm leaving it off the table. Today, I want to dive deeper into the systems you need around your debt. So welcome to the Being Better Everyday podcast, where we make your days more peacefully productive while you're juggling all the things. I'm your host, Julie Wenslick, a millennial mom, finance professional, and founder of P&W Designs. I know that as a mom, business owner, corporate girlie, or a combination of all three like myself, sometimes life can feel like a lot. With the simplicity of systems and being better every day, we create the habits and routines that support your life, create calm in the chaos, and put the you back in your everyday. Grab those headphones, put on your shoes, and join me on a walk while we dig in to today's episode. Welcome, welcome. As we dive in, I needed to get the disclosures out of the way again. So as somebody with a finance degree and somebody who is securities licensed, I need to say first and foremost, nothing on this podcast is investment, finance, or tax planning advice, nor is affiliated with any other organization other than P&W Designs. I'm coming at you as a bestie sitting across from you with a hot cup of coffee, or in my case, a hot cup of water, talking to a friend and geeking out about finances. So no, don't roll your eyes. I really love empowering people to talk about their finances and making people feel informed so that they understand where they're at. So last week, we talked about the basics of tracking your finances and getting your systems that work for you to make things simple and effective. Today, we are talking about the concept more specifically around debt. So according to NerdWallet's January 2024 survey, the average household debt, everything included, is $167,947, and the average student loan debt is now over $55,000. For context, I remember when we graduated back in 2011, the average student loan debt was somewhere around $30,000. Now, obviously, I did mention this in the last episode, and we'll talk about it today. We graduated with $140,000, so we were well above average. Again, that number has definitely creeped up over the last 10 years. And if you have credit card debt, you are most likely over $5,000 in debt there as well. And again, statistics say you're somewhere between $8,000 and $9,000 in credit card debt if you do have credit card debt. Now, I'm not one to preach to be debt-free at all costs, and I do think it's important for you to understand how it impacts your short-term and long-term financial life and how debt is playing a role in your life. So on a short-term basis, it makes you more dependent on your income. So for example, my husband and I have paid and continue to pay over $1,000 a month in student loans and have since 2011. So if you do the math, which I hate doing, but if you do the math, that is over 13 years, 12 payments a year, and we have already paid $156,000 in student loan payments. And we still have at least $50,000 to go. So we started with around $140,000 in student loan debt, right? But if you add that up, interest has killed us. And we, you know, will end up paying over $200,000 in student loans because of interest. We bought a house in student loans. And if we didn't have that $1,000 payment, it's less income that we need if something did happen to one of our income sources, right? So I always focus on the fact that what is the monthly payments doing to your need for income? Because that, especially as you get older, right? You talk about being financially independent. The less income you need, the easier it is going to be financially independent. That's where that lifestyle creep comes in as well. Second thing is interest kills you. Again, we will have paid over $50,000 in interest in student loans over the years. And every debt you take on, that interest, that impact of interest compounds. I will say long-term, the same statement of being dependent on income reigns true. For example, my parents were blessed with being able to retire by 60. And one of the reasons they were able to do that so successfully is because they were living debt-free, house included. They have lived within their means their whole life. They have worked hard But by any, they were very average middle class Americans in central Wisconsin, right? We didn't take vacations growing up. When I was younger, my parents didn't even have the finances they were when I got older, right? I wasn't able to get hot lunch. I wasn't able to have waffles, which is like always my example. I had to start buying my clothes by the age of 12 unless I wanted Walmart because that was my mom's budget, right? She's like, you're going to get Walmart, and if you don't want Walmart, you're going to have to earn the money and buy it yourself. And, obviously that is how where some of my financial aptitude comes from. It's from where my drive comes from. But at the same time, I look at them now, they're living debt-free, they're retiring, they're going on a 3-week vacation, not spending a ton of money on hotels, not spending a ton of money on food, but they're able to take that time together. And living debt-free allows them to release the pressure on the income they need in retirement. And it's my number one tip that I give when I am meeting with individuals professionally is if you haven't saved enough towards your kind of financially free life, towards when you want to retire, then you need to lower what you need to depend on for income, right? Pay that house off, pay that car off, buy your cars in cash. That kind of stuff will make a massive impact on kind of what you look at when it comes to retirement as well. Again, you probably can already hear I'm like, I could go off on this, but having debt isn't always a bad thing. And there will be times where, technically, on your individual situation, it may make better sense for you not to pay it off quickly, which I'll get into. But let's talk about where, what it actually looks like to understand your debt. And that is kind of the key of today is like getting you the system in place so you understand the impact that your debt is having on a monthly basis, on a long-term basis, and really having the big picture. Guess what? It starts with a spreadsheet because I love spreadsheets. So you will want to set some time aside to build out this spreadsheet with what type of debt you have, who you owe it to, how much money you still owe, your current minimum payment, your current interest rate, your current payment if you're paying above the minimum. And for once, for us, we have multiple sources of debt from student loans to a house. So we have a main sheet that shows us all of the high-level information, including current anticipated payoff dates. And if you have a 0% credit card, you will also want to note when the interest rate kicks in, if that is a scenario that you are sitting in. When you are ready to take ownership over understanding the debt payoff journey and possibly making extra payments, then it's time to get familiar with loan amortization schedules and debt payoff methods. A loan amortization schedule is a spreadsheet that outlines the details of loan repayment plans over time. It breaks down each periodic payment into the principal and interest components, helping you understand how your payments are allocated and how much you owe at any given point. So, literally, I can open our spreadsheet and say, okay, the month is, April 2024, and I owe X amount on my student loan A, X amount on my student loan B, X amount on our house, right? It allows me to look at it in one simple spreadsheet and see where we're at from our debt. So here's what's typically included within the amortization schedule. First is payment number. So this gives you like the number, right, of how many payments you've made. I don't, 10 years, for example, on a loan, you're going to have 120 payments. 20 years, you're going to have 240, that kind of thing. And then it's usually starting right from the first payment down to the final. But if you already like are mid loan, right, that could be a factor. I usually just start with whatever my outstanding amount is and then how many payments are left in order to kind of like start building the spreadsheet. Payment date is obviously the date in which the payment is due every month. Your beginning balance, your payment amount, your principal payment, which is going to be calculated automatically for you in a loan amortization schedule. That's going to be how much is going towards the actual pay down of the loan. And then interest payment is the portion of the payment that covers the cost of the borrowing based on the loan interest rate. So, one of the most interesting things that you will see from these schedules and how you can learn is at the beginning of a loan, the majority of your payment is going toward interest. Right. So that's why with our student loans, it takes 10 years to make progress. And then all of a sudden, the balances start to go down pretty quickly because we've paid off the majority of the interest. And now our payments are actually going towards principal. But it's really hard to understand that unless you actually see it in a table. A lot of the amortization schedules also then include cumulative interest, which is the total interest paid up to the point of the loan term. And then obviously the ending balance, which is the remaining balance of the loan after each payment has been made. So by providing a detailed breakdown of each payment, the schedule helps you visualize how your loan is being paid off over time, and you can then understand the impact of interest and the cost of borrowing over time. If you don't already have this set up, don't worry, it's easy. You can actually do this by opening Excel and under the template area, search for loan amortization. Excel, when I just recently looked, has at least two templates for free to download where you can input this information for each of your loans and kind of like duplicate the tabs for each of those loans. So I highly suggest you do this. It may seem cumbersome, but at the same time, it's going to help you understand your debt and your opportunities and allow you to play with your numbers. So once you've done this, it's time to actually talk about debt snowball versus debt avalanche. Snowball method is generally the method that my husband and I follow. In this approach, you focus on paying off the smallest debt first while making minimum payments on all of their debts. Once the smallest debt is paid off, you roll that amount that you were paying on that other debt to the next smallest debt, creating that snowball effect. So, for example, my husband and I have three student loan providers. Mine, I consolidated dumbly right before the pandemic into a consolidated private student loan because the interest rate was lower than my public student loans. And so I have one big student loan. And then my husband has a bank of private and a bank of public. And now that, this zero interest rate period is over on public student loans, we are aggressively paying off his public student loan because that only has $10,000 left, where I have 40,000 on mine and he has 20, which actually is 70, not 50. Whatever. I'm making up numbers. I actually don't know how much we have on it because I didn't look at the spreadsheet right now. Anyway, so we're paying off that $10,000 student loan before we attack the $40,000 student loan. They all have decently similar interest rates. And again, so that is where the snowball method definitely makes sense. In an avalanche method, you prioritize paying off debts with the highest interest rates first, regardless of the debt amount. This money will stay, this is the actual like mathematically correct way of doing it. However, it tends to be pretty defeating if you have to start with a large loan. If I'm talking to anyone about finances, if you have credit cards with interest rates and you carry a balance on your credit cards, then you should start with your credit cards, right? Credit cards have exorbitant interest rates. If you put it on a spreadsheet and you saw how much you were paying on interest, it's an eye-opener. That is where the avalanche method needs to be a priority first, is paying off credit cards before all other debt, in my opinion. And this is just an opinion, not advice. So again, personally, we follow the snowball method, with the exception of credit cards. Credit cards always go first, in my opinion, because those interest rates are just too high. And then we update our spreadsheet once a year, if not twice, which again, this is why I don't know our numbers exactly because I haven't updated it yet this spring. But we will update it every season around bonus season for us because we tend to put like a big amount of money down on our student loans around that time frame. So the next part of kind of that analysis of understanding your student loan, or not student loans, but understanding your debt, is around playing with the numbers. So it's a little bit hard to explain it over a podcast, and I'm not sharing my screen on YouTube. So again, I'm just going to try to explain this. But once you have the spreadsheets put together, again, let's say you have four loans and you have four different tabs, each of them with a loan amortization schedules. First thing you're going to want to do is actually copy the entire document and save it as like a base in case you screw up. Second, you're going to start playing with debt snowball. So this is where you can actually see how Snowball can help you and actually play with like, okay, how do I make massive progress? So you'll want to take your loans and start stacking the payments on the spreadsheet once something is paid off. So for example, if you pay off a loan in June and you're making a $350 monthly payment to that loan, you would then roll that $350 payment to the next loan to actually reflect on your spreadsheet. So for example, making up numbers here, your loan one that you pay off in June 2024 has a $350 monthly payment. Loan two, which is your next loan you're going to snowball, has a 350, well, let's do $400, $400 monthly payment. So your total payment For that loan too, in July of 2024 would be $750, right? Because you're eating that 350 and putting it onto the next loan. This will actually help you. You know, you then put it on the spreadsheet and then pay that $700 a month until loan two is paid off. And then once loan two is paid off, you take that $700 and you put it on loan three, right? And kind of snowball that payment, right? You're not then living in that kind of lifestyle creep where then you're just absorbing the $350. You're putting it towards that debt payoff. If you actually put it in the spreadsheet and kind of reflect that snowball, what it'll actually allow you to do is see the real impact of interest and paying off things sooner where it matters. So, for example, right, our student loans, we are in year 13. Hopefully, we'll have them paid off in the next year or two. And we will have then saved 5 years on our student loans. It is only 5 years, but it's still 5 years. We have been one who believes in living in life on top of paying off our debt. So, you know, certainly we bought a house 7 years ago. And technically, if you were to follow like a Dave Ramsey method, we shouldn't have done that. I don't care. Like, I believe in living our life as well as prioritizing that debt. Random note on interest rates that I want you to pay attention to is there will be sometimes like maybe a 2.5% mortgage interest rate where inflation and bank account savings yields are higher, and it actually may not make sense mathematically to prioritize debt payments over all else. Again, technically, mathematically. So, for example, if I can get a 4.5% yield on a savings account and my mortgage interest rate is 2.5, mathematically, it doesn't actually make sense to pay double on your mortgage instead of just having that money grow maybe in the market and or in a bank account. But it definitely, you know, it's finances are an individual experience, right? It depends on your long-term goals. It depends on if you're trying to pay off your mortgage in order to pay for college, right? There are always going to be unique situations to this, which is why it's going to be a lot of organizations, if you do work in corporate America, have access to financial coaches now, because then you can talk through with somebody and understand, you know, what is unique to your individual situation. But I did want to make that note because that's where I differ a little bit from like the Dave Ramseys of the world or people who preach like pay debt off over all else when it comes to a house or an asset like that. If your interest rate is lower than, let's say, inflation and or your savings account rate, it may not make sense to pay more than you need to on those interest rates. So just again, keep that in mind. It depends on your individual goals. I go back to, well, if you want to live on less, right, and not need as much income, well, then it maybe makes sense to pay it off regardless of kind of that arbitrage opportunity with interest rates. Another way to help motivate yourself to pay off debt is a fun little resource called debtfreecharts.com. This is something that I have used. I don't even know. I think I saw somebody else use it on social media. I've used it on and off for the last 10 years, probably. And they do have a book on Amazon as well where you can like get a printed book of the charts, but you can download them for free on debtfreecharts.com. And what they are is it gamifies savings and debt goals. So you'll have a like fun little chart or a fun little path that you can color as you make payments and kind of see that progress. So if you are having a hard time sticking to kind of your financial goals, sticking to the motivation, you can hang it up somewhere where you would be able to see it and remind yourself of your overall goals. So that goes into kind of the system that I use to track our debt. Again, it doesn't go into the mindset, it doesn't go into what, you know, what debt to take when. I have to, you know, kind of be careful. Again, all of these views and information is at P&W Designs, nor at anyone else I am affiliated with. It is hopefully gives you at least the system to start educating yourself on your debt. Because debt doesn't all have to be bad. It's important to have a system around the debt you have, why you have it, and the impact it's making on your financial future for you and your family. If you have questions, don't forget to DM me on Instagram or comment over on YouTube. I hope this gives you a little help into being better every day in your finances. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Being Better Everyday podcast. To see any visuals, head over to my YouTube channel. Links, socials, and resources mentioned can always be found in today's show notes. I truly appreciate you leaving a rating and review to help me reach more women looking to build systems to be peacefully productive. If you are looking for more, you can always find me on Instagram at julie.pwdesigns, sharing the behind the scenes of my everyday life as a millennial mom, corporate girly, and small business owner. Until next time, keep on taking one step at a time towards your version of being better every day.